It's a challenge, our Father's Day challenge, to not only just our fathers, but also to all men. And ladies, you can glean from it here, but I'm challenging the men more than anybody else this morning, because this is Father's Day 2019. And if I asked you, or I said, what does it mean? Listen, I don't want you to answer this, but what does it mean to act like men? Now, there's a lot of you who jump to conclusions, right, to what the world thinks. Oh, he's just acting like a man. What does that mean? Something for us to think about. What is it to act like men by what the world says? And what is it to act like men by what the... Oh, that's right. Let the kids go. I'm sorry. Look, I'm already excited. Children's Church. Look, they were about to storm the Bastille. Sorry about that, Children's Church. But I'm so full of looks. I can't stand. I'm leaking. Children's Church, you're free to go now. Thank you, Dwayne and Allie. Sorry I forgot about you. Too excited. How blessed we are for our kids. Wow. But it back, listen, if I had to challenge you today, the world will make you fit into its mold and say this is how a man's supposed to act. But the Scripture is where we go when we find out what it is that God expects from us this morning. And I want us to know, you know, many times when I watch the sitcoms on TV, the comedies, what do? They make men to be ignorant, unintelligent, loss of moral compass. All these things that we see that gives men and dads a bad rep today. And I want you to know, be encouraged that the Word of God does not mean any of those things. It does not give us an example of those things. In fact, it calls us to a high standard. And I'm so excited as we look into God's Word and some powerful principles. We'll be looking at 1 Corinthians, as you see on the screen, 1 Corinthians 16, just a couple verses. That when we look into God's Word and we'll look at the context of what is written in, that we can see we have some powerful principles. We have some things that we can learn from. Learning the basics of how men are to act, I think is what Paul is instituting. He's squeezing in at the end of this great letter that he has really challenged this church. The church at Corinth was a great church, but it had a lot of problems. Why? Why does churches have problems? There's people in it, okay? That's why churches have problems. If we're not careful and we go and we act like the world does instead of the way of the world, we have problems. Can anybody say amen? That's just a part of we need to learn and be constantly learning. So he squeezes in really some how to do basics well right at the end of this and how we can look at it. John Wooden was one of my greatest coaches of all time. They called him the Wizard of Westwood. He hated that. UCLA coach that won 10 national championships. And the first thing when the freshmen would come in under his coaching, you know what he'd say? He'd teach them how to put their socks on. How to put their socks on. He said, what has that got to do with coaching? He said, the basics is where you learn when to learn to lose and win the game. Alan, this is how you put your socks on. Vince Lombardi, one of the greatest coaches that ever coached in football, he would go and he would start his training camp by saying, this is a football. The basics, if we're not careful, we'll overlook. And what Paul's doing here, he's challenging this great church in the basics. Men, we can learn how to act like men this morning. I want us to take God's Word in your hand, whether it's electronic, the Bible in the back of you, or one that you have, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and stand to your feet in the reverence of God's Word and listen to what God's Word says. We'll be looking at 1 Corinthians 16, and we're just looking at two verses this morning, 13 and 14. The Word of God says this: watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, let all that you do be done with love. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I pray in Jesus' name that you will touch our heart as men, as fathers, as people of God, that you will show us what it is you have us to learn for your glory. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Paul, as he gets to the end of this book, He's dealt with the church. He's dealt with how gifted they are, the great gifts. He's dealt with how they've fussed and they fought over different things. But he gets to this point where he's conducing it down, and he's right at the end of his exhortation. He's saying his farewells, but he sticks these couple great verses in for us to learn from this morning, especially as fathers and as men. And I want you to know, when we look at these, we can take three challenges this morning. We can answer this question. As men of God, what are we supposed to do? First is what? Be stable. What does the Scripture say? Be stable, verse 13a. It says, watch, stand fast in the faith. So that first word, watch. What does it mean to watch? Well, it's to be on guard, to be alert. And what are we supposed to be on guard or watching for? Well, the Corinthian church had let its guard down. You said, what do you mean? It had let its guard down where they came from a very pagan background. Their whole life of debauchery, all the church of Corinth was set up in one of the greatest debauched towns of that Roman Empire. And so what they had done is they had allowed the paganism of their world to start creeping into the church. Hello? He said, stand firm. Watch. Watch these things. Be on guard. Don't let the pagan ideas of the world syncretize into the church. If the church does not look any different from the world, what do we have to offer? What's any use of coming? Say, we have to be different. We dare to be different, dads. We march to the beat of a different drum. I like what Cindy said about, I like his drum. That's what you said about Phil. Walk by the beat of your drum. Guys, it's a different beat. We don't act like the world. We don't make our decisions in the corporate world or our personal life like the world. We stand upon the Word of God. And he's challenged them, watch, be on guard. Dad, how about your ideas this morning? What about your habits? Do they line up with the Word, or do they look more like the world? Just a question to ask yourself. Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know the context of that verse was the Garden of Gethsemane. Our Savior headed to the cross, had a couple of his inner circle, James and John. What did he do? Peter, James, and John. What are they doing? They're sleeping on the job. He said, come and pray with me. He's under agony. He said his sweat drops were like blood. He's facing his last hours of his life. And he comes back, and what are they doing? They're dozing off. Probably, hey, they went to the supper just like this morning. Your belly's full. It's a little warm in here, by the way, is it not? And so when you get a little warm, by the way, look. I can do this. Yeah. I hear you, Barbara. I got to keep you awake. Listen, they had got their bellies full. It was warm. They needed to be praying, but what were they doing? They were sleeping. And so Jesus made, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Guys, temptation comes when we're at our weakest. Do you understand? Satan don't come when you're full bore, full strength. He comes when you've fought the world all week. Hello? When you've went round and round, it seems like nothing's working. That's when he cometh and he tempts us to lose our watch. 1 Peter says, be sober, be vigilant. That word means watch there. Be vigilant. Because why? Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Do you understand? A lion, what it preys upon most of the time, is the young and the weak. And it's looking around. And the reason he roars, it makes everything, it gets all these other animals, they want to run and flee. And that's when he pounces on the weak and he pounces on the young. And that's what he's saying. He said, watch, be vigilant, stand. Why? Your adversary, which is not flesh and blood, which is not people, which is not, that is not our enemy, but it's Satan and powers and principalities. And he said, watch against them, be vigilant, because he's trying to devour you. Do you know he wants to devour your family? You having family troubles? God messing with your marriage? Not God, Satan. Satan, because because he wants to destroy your family. He knows that's the most precious unit that God gave us, by the way. That's why all the attacks are against family right now. It's because your adversary, Satan, wishes to devour your family. Don't give in, Dad. Watch. Be vigilant. Stand against him. It's probably, listen, Dad, probably one of the most important, life starts and ends with watchfulness or guardedness. We should be on guard. Why is that? In one unguarded moment, I can destroy my family, my relationship with my wife, my relationship with my kids. In one unguarded moment in my career, in my job, I can make a choice that is not with integrity. It can destroy everything. One unguarded moment could cost you an entire lifetime of misery. Can you see amen to that? We are to watch. Be on guard. Why? Satan wishes to stumble. Satan wishes to devour. Be on guard. I'm most vulnerable when I don't realize I'm not vulnerable. Do you understand what I'm saying? When I don't realize that I am vulnerable. In fact, the scariest people I encounter is the ones that say it will never happen to me. Those are the ones that are the most scariest. If we feel that way, listen, we got to be on guard and be watchful unless we fall. It's only by the grace of God that we stand. It's by His grace, and we'll see by His power. Dad, watch, be on guard that you do not fall. But also, look, stand fast in the faith, which he goes on to say. This is to stand fast in what? The faith. The nature and necessity of Christian living is our faith, our beliefs, and what we put our trust in. We are to stand fast in faith. The Corinthians were facing false teachers that he has dealt with in the other chapters that were coming in and trying to get them to slip, trying to get them to fall, trying to teach them other than the Word of God. And he's saying, look, you got to stand fast. If you don't know what it says, you got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. That's an old country song, ain't it? But there's a lot of truth when you don't understand. If you don't stand upon the Word of God, you're going to fall for anything. Anything coming down the pipe. I just don't know where I stand on that. The reason you don't know where you stand is because you don't know the Word of God. God's Word covers everything, okay? It teaches us what we are to stand on. Stand on the faith. I love in Philippians 1:27, when Paul is wanting to come back to the church at Philippi there. He's in prison. Listen to what he writes. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs that what? That you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul said, stand fast whether I'm there or not. Whether you're here or not, you stand fast. It has nothing to do with church on Sunday morning being one way, but it has everything to be who you are when you're outside these doors and everywhere that you're at. Standing fast in the faith, representing Christ, Dad, fathers, men. Satan cannot take saving faith away from us, but he can and he often does obscure the content of our faith, which is sound doctrine in the Word of God. Don't let anybody ever stand up here or anywhere and preach you something that is contrary to God's Word and you not know any better. Why would you not know any better? Because you don't know what it says. You've got to know what it says. Be a student of God's Word. Be a learner. Ever growing. Ever present. When you know and somebody says something, well, that just don't sit right with me. And why does it not sit right? Go to the Word of God and figure it out. Stand. We must hold fast to the right interpretations of Scripture. It's so important. What do we do with it? Well, we live by it. We just don't know it, but we put it into use. In fact, James says, don't just be a hearer, but be a what? A doer. It's about being. Put it into use. Know it. Live it. Stand up on it. Be stable. But next, look, be mature. When it says be brave, be strong, 13b. Be brave actually is interpreted, if you got the NASB or the ESB, is interpreted, act like men. That's where I got my title today. Act like men.
age. It's talking about a maturity to grow in the things of the Lord. And men, hey, we're supposed to be courageous, okay? That's the way it's supposed to be. Don't let the world try to blend things and get you all confused. We're supposed to act like men. Be courageous. Be up on guard. But stand firm in the faith for the things of God. Act courageous. God designed it that way. Okay? Don't let the world tell you any different. God designed men to be masculine and women to be feminine. Do you understand that? That's God. You have to take that up with that. If that makes you, if there's something about that just I don't like, you better take it up with God. He's the one that did it. Made male and female. Praise God, I'm so glad He gave me my female. Where would I be without her? Men, on Father's Day, you better love that woman that He's given you. I told her today, I said, hey, I wouldn't be a father if you hadn't had my kid. That's profound, ain't it? I said, I think I had a little something to do with it, not much. Okay? I'm so thankful for the women that God puts in our lives and the mothers. But listen, God raised up men to be leaders and the leaders in our homes and be the spiritual leaders and to make sure, just like we stood those kids up today, that before God, I'm going to say, I'm going to try my best before the Lord to raise my family in the ways of God. I'm going to be an example, and that doesn't mean I'm going to be perfect, okay? That means I'm going to make mistakes, and one of the greatest things that we can show our kids is to say, when we mess up, to say, you know what? I'm sorry. I blew it. That's powerful. You can make mistakes, okay? We all do. But there's nothing wrong with saying, you know what, I'm sorry. I kind of blew that. I kind of blew a gasket this morning. I blew some gaskets in my past, okay? I've got a little mad. A little bit. It's Father's Day. Be brave, guys. Be brave. He's teaching them. He's taught them over in the chapters. He's saying, don't desire the milk. Don't just desire the milk of the Word, but He said, feast upon the meat. Dad, grow. Man, we like meat. We should like meat of God's Word that we grow in it. We grow strong from it. And we learn and we become the men that God's called us to be. Mature in the God, in the Lord, in the things. Act like men. Men are manly. They have, listen, this maturity that we should. We should be growing in the Lord. We are to be men of example to the church, men of courage. How? We place a priority on God's Word. In fact, in Ephesians, Paul wrote, no longer tossed to and fro and carried away by every wind of doctrine. In other words, you know what you stand for and you know why you do. You can go to it not because some preacher stood and told it to you, but because you knew that thus says the Word of God and that He spoke it to you just like He spoke it to any of us. And we stand upon that. We're not tossed to and fro. Well, I don't know where I stand on that. The problem is, know where God stands on it, and then we line up with Him. Because He wants us to be brave. But not only that, but be strong. Look, where do we get our strength? I love Psalms 121, especially around here. I will lift up my eyes into the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Our help, our power comes from the Lord. We cannot do it on our own. We know the verse in Philippians 4:13. A lot of us are our favorite, our life verse. And what did Paul say? I can do all things through Christ who what? Who strengthens me. But the context of that, don't take that out as it stand alone. It was being content on whatever you had. Paul said, I know what it is to be abased. I know what it is to be abound. I know what it is to have plenty and not to have anything. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, the context is being content in life. And so we can do those things. When I'm weak, then I am strong. We wait upon the Lord. I like what Isaiah said in 40:31. Those that wait upon the Lord shall do what? Shall mount up on wings of eagles. Shall run and not grow weary. Shall walk and not faint. He says those who wait upon the Lord, those who find their strength in the Lord, shall mount up on wings of eagles. Men, find our strength. Fathers, find your strength in the Lord. It's not about a physical strength. It's about a spiritual strength that far exceeds anything. Do your kids know what you stand for and why you stand upon it? Do your kids know why you even come to church? It's just something we do every Sunday. Let's go to church. Because that's what we do. Why? Because don't think they ain't asking why, okay? Why? Let them know why we do that. We come to worship the risen Savior. Because let me tell you what He did to me, kids. Let me tell you what He saved. How He saved me and what He saved me from. Be vulnerable. Let them know. Listen, this life is here. It'll eat you. It'll chew you up and spit you out. But let me tell you what Jesus did and what He can do. And how He's always there. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. Teach them the ways of God. Be strong in the Lord. Is the power of God not enough? The power of God just sustains it all. Everything in His power. But lastly, so we be stable, we be mature, but lastly, be love. And look, let all that you do be done with love. So, now wait a minute. Dad, loving, act like men, that just don't go together. Show me scripture and verse. I saw the greatest man that ever lived and walked on this earth was the most loving man. How do I know? For God so loved the world that He gave. Christ loved you this much. And we should love others that much. He said, listen, love is the season in which all the other imperatives are cooked. You say, what are you talking about that? It's seasoned with love. Cooking analogy. Let me give you an example. You like garlic? You say, well, whether you like it or not, I like garlic. I do. You can get garlic bread out. You ever get that Texas toast and you get the garlic right and you throw it in the oven? What? It ain't long to what the whole house is smelling like what? Garlic. Have you ever tried to pick it off of the bread? It don't do you any good. Why? It permeates everything. I'm going to tell you, you get those cloves out and you crush them up and you mix them with stuff and you eat enough of it, and when you get around somebody, they're saying, ooh, that brother's been eating some garlic. Is it not the truth? Why? It permeates everything. Love. Love should be that way. It should ooze out of us. Listen, they should not anybody be able to ever come in these doors that they don't experience love right off the bat. Why? Because God's people are here. It doesn't matter where they come from. It doesn't matter what lifestyle they've chosen. It should matter that we love them enough that we give them the truth. I'm not talking about the love umbrella. We just embrace everything coming down the pipe. In love, we embrace all people, but it's based on what? The truth. If love is not based on truth, then it will collapse every time. Do you understand? But if it's based on truth, love encompasses everything and it permeates everything. Everything. Do everything in love. Be strong. Be courageous. Act like men, but let it be done in love. Dads, we should be loved. Nothing wrong. Tell them you love them. Showing them you love them. It's the thing that means the most. On Father's Day, June 16th, 2019, if I can challenge Dad to do anything, I challenge you, be stable, be mature, but most of all, be loving. Applications then will be done. Come and play if you would. Sarah. Number one, are you the spiritual leader in your home? God's called you to be the spiritual leader. Represent Jesus. Number two, do you read and study the Word of God? Is that a part of your daily intake, Dad? Is that a part of your life that you know why you stand upon what you stand upon? Not from somebody else telling you, but because God's Word said it. Number three, is your life marked by the love of Christ? Do your kids know you love Jesus? Does your wife know you love Jesus and you can love them? Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask all dads that would, or any man that would like to come down, let's pray. Let's pray together. Let's end this service on Father's Day around this altar, guys. Come on. Come on. Let's end this around this altar. Men of God. You don't have to be a dad. You can be just a man that wants to act like a man, like the biblical man. Ladies, there ain't many times that you can ask men to come and you clear out over half the church. Be blessed. Be blessed this morning. If you would, ladies, reach your hand towards them and let's pray a prayer for these guys willing to come. Father, you see around this altar, look at these men, God, that's come before you. And Lord, we're weak. We need help. We need to act like men. We don't need to be the men that the world says that we are. We don't need to work about how hard, or worry about how hard we work or how we look or how masculine we are or that we don't cry or any of these things. We just need to find our strength in the Lord. And when we do, Lord, we'll be that man you've called us to be. We'll be that masculine man because Jesus is in us. We'll work hard because Jesus has caused us to. And Lord, we'll be loving. So I pray you see each and every person, each man around this altar or in this room. And I pray, God, that you'll touch them with your spirit, God. They need your power. Help them to grow in grace and knowledge of you. Help them to desire to read your word and live by your word. Help them, God, to be the men you've called them to be the fathers, those that have kids, the fathers to be one of these days. And use them mightily for your glory. And I thank you so much for them. Because we ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You may return to your seats. Appreciate you. Love you. Appreciate you. Love you. Jack. Appreciate you, man. I love you, brother. Love you, Tom. Appreciate you. Good to have you with you, brother. Thank you, Ted. Well, we've had a good day. Listen, no service this evening, so remember that. We'll be back in here Wednesday. I know that Christy said that we won't be working on the decorations this Thursday, so if you were planning on BBS decoration, they won't be working on them. So have a good evening. If your dad's alive, let him know. Hey, if you are a dad, spend time with your family. Whatever it is the Lord had you do, be blessed in it. Jim, close us in prayer, please.